Heavenly Father, we can bring all these people to Thy throne of grace. We ask the Lord that Thou wouldst undertake for them many different details, people that we've asked for prayer and offering on their behalf. Treat them, Lord, as Thou would have them to be treated, answer in the way Thou wouldst have them to be answered, partial, complete, whatever they be. We ask that Thou wouldst undertake for them their needs that they have, and we intercede for them on their behalf, based upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who wants them to have Thy will perfect in their own selves, for that be the will being healed or straightened out, answered in prayer, or whether it means to be strengthened and abide whatever trial is there. So take care of them and use them. Take the child that's here with us, and his daughter as well, and we look forward to the day we're going to sign in meetings as well. On this July coming up, right there in Northfield, New Jersey. God is direct, so I will open up Thy word. In 1 Corinthians, in Jesus' name, we ask. Amen. All right, let's take our book of 1 Corinthians, or chapter 14, and we got down to verse 21, last Thursday. So if you could open up, and we'll be reading verses 21, 22, and 23. Those who are listening to us on the internet, please give us a call at 856-361-9018. So if you give a comment or question, we'd like to hear from you. Or email us at questions at bfbc.org. Okay. Let's see what we have here. This low cash. Ms. Weber, go ahead. Good, wonderful. Thank you, Lord bless you. Bye. Yeah, Ms. Weber is listening to us. That's good. Hi, Ms. Weber. She's looking. Let's wait for this.
Are you okay,
Cass?
Getting better?
Okay. All right. We're in the chapter 14. Let's read verses 21, 22, and 23 together. 1 Corinthians 14, 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. The prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. If therefore the whole church can come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are not learned and not believers, will they not say, ye are mad? By verse number 20. What does it say tongues are mentioned? How are they mentioned in the Old Testament?
Verse
20
or
21? Verse 20 or 21.
That's not wait.
First of all,
it
is written
in the law, it is written,
that
the man of other tongues,
none of
this will I speak unto
thee,
unto this people.
That's right, Paul. And where is it written in the law? Deuteronomy, chapter 28, and verse 49. Now, when were the tongues in the Old Testament? Was the Old Testament completed when Deuteronomy was written? Is the Old Testament complete?
No.
No, it wasn't. So God had to reveal to the Old Testament Jews his plan, and so he had these languages that he had given special revelation. And so in the law of the I will speak to this people. What was the reaction to the people in the Old Testament? This was the plan. What was their reaction? Where God spoke to them out of his law. Do you have a question there?
Sometimes they rejected it, and sometimes they accepted it.
That's right. And yet for all that, it says in this 21, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Deuteronomy 28:49. Maybe you ought to read this, folks. 28:49. You got it, John?
Yeah,
okay. Okay.
The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand.
That's it. So God had to give them understanding, or to understand these foreign languages coming into the land. All right, then in verse number 22, what did they say that these languages, foreign languages, tongues are for? What is the purpose? What do they call that, Sam?
A sign.
First line, yeah, John? That's fine. Paul? Oh, yes, sir.
What?
Yes, sir. Chapter 14 and verse number 22. So what is this for, if I said?
I'm wondering, this previous verse of this has reference to perhaps the captivity.
Could be.
If they're going to visit every part of the kid, they're going to be brought into captivity. And
into a foreign language where they couldn't understand, right?
Yes.
I'm not sure if that's possible,
the correct interpretation of this passage in Deuteronomy or not. But it
seems like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of the references in the margin of one of the Bible, but that could be. And then, in the tongues, or what are tongues again? How would you define it? It has that in there. Pastor,
known foreign languages.
Known languages.
And what is the purpose? What do they call these names? What do they call this language? For example, in verse 22, what do they call it?
The first sign.
What is the significance of a sign? What would that be? How do you define a sign?
It's a witness.
All right. It's a special thing.
Identifying the form of God.
Special thing, sign from God, special thing, touch of that.
Especially for those that do not believe.
All right, for those that do not believe, that's the difference of it. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. That's clear in verse 22. Pastor Barbara. Pastor Barbara. Hello, Barbara. What's your name? Barbara Musk.
Hi, Pastor Wayne. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
A sign is a mark or indication or token with an appeal to the understanding of man that a thing is true. And a sign is for those who believe not.
All right.
So the tongues would have been to them a sign, like it was at Pentecost, where the disciples spoke in a foreign language so that people could understand the gospel.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Barbara. Appreciate this. Wait the Corporal and Master, right here from Jersey.
Barbara.
New Jersey, all right. Good. Any others are coming? Mr. Barbara, someday give us a report on your car. See how much you've gathered together to repair that, and how much might it be for a little repair, but not a full repair. Okay, so the sign is a very good definition that she gave us of the sign. So that's in verse number 22. Those who believe not. In other words, when something happens very astounding to people, that's a sign that the Lord's in this. Now, when did all these signs begin, and when did they cease, according to our Bible? When did they begin, when did they cease? All these nine different sign gifts. Okay?
It began at Pentecost.
Pentecost? And when does it end?
At the close of the canon of Scripture.
At the close, when the Bible is completed, all these things are closed. 1 Corinthians 13 is very, very clear on that. I did not discuss that earlier. And does everybody agree with us on that? Well, they don't. The Pentecostals, charismatics, they just have these things that go on and on and on. And proceed a little bit later on, you're not supposed to have any tongues or language unless it's an interpreter. A lot of times these people don't care about that. They just go ahead and talk. Nobody else understands, no interpreter, or nothing. But anyway, he didn't even try to, not for them to believe. And I believe that. But what about prophesying? How would you define prophesying in verse 22? Yes, Pastor.
It's especially for those who believe.
Yes.
What would be involved in prophesying? Yes.
Special message from God.
All right. Special message from God.
Well, it's that proclamation of God's word.
God's word, and before the Bible was completed, they didn't know God's word.
Right.
But special revelation, special things. But if people now say that more things are being added because of tongues and languages, what is violation? What does God say if anybody adds to His word?
God's
place. Revelation 22.
Revelation.
Right. Revelation 22. Very serious. And yet these people go on and on and they don't realize what the scriptures say about that. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. And then in verse 22, then we believe we have these prophesying. In that time when they didn't know the word of God, here these people were given the gift of prophecy, speaking God's word, what's going to happen. It's amazing. Special miraculous revelation no more, and no, it's finished, and all revelation is complete, the Bible is complete, stop all the brother. But 21, 22, 23, and let's read 24, 25, and 26 together. Therefore, the whole church.
No, we didn't do
23.
Oh,
I see.
We didn't do 23 yet.
We didn't read it.
Yeah, we read it.
We didn't read it. Oh, I thought we read it. Okay. What's the whole church is coming together? What's going to happen then? Any hands on that? What's going to happen when the whole church comes together?
It's a hypothetical.
All right. It's an answer. All right. So if, then what happens?
Well, it seems as though it's not just that they're speaking in tongues. It's that there's no interpreter.
All right. What says all speak with tongues? Is that consistent with what's talked about later?
It's supposed to be one at a time.
Well, most for three.
They must be an interpreter.
Yeah. See, if you babble, it's terrible. Just a terrible babble.
Right. Just a bunch of people speaking all kinds of gibberish. And no interpretation. It's very unbiblical.
Exactly.
And when they have multiple ones, it's unbiblical. It shouldn't be any of the scripture says no more than two or three at a time.
That's right.
And must be an interpreter.
That's right.
And it is not some unknown angelic language of some belief.
Right.
They are known languages. That's what it was in the Old Testament passage that we looked at. These were known languages. The language of those people around them.
Right. So that's important. Catch that.
If unbelievers or unlearned are hearing or present, I mean, I think everyone's mad. It was crazy.
Yes, that's right. In verse 23, unlearned, unbelieving, those come in, will they not say you're mad?
That's the result of the Toronto of blessing and all these things. That's what the unbelievers think. These people are mad. Which, frankly, the believers kind of wonder too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I remember I used to go every Friday as a student at the University of Michigan to hear Dr. M. R. D. Hahn's radio Bible class in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And one time we went there, but they closed down for some reason. So I said, well, I'm here, unless I go to another church. What are these Pentecostal churches? I got out of that fast. There's no interpreter or nothing. It's just a dim, terrible noise. I would think they would be mad. That's exactly what I would think about that. So, whole church.
Then they claim that, you know, what they're saying is of God, and if they do have an interpreter, usually what they say is they just quote a piece of scripture, like it's new revelation or something, and it's not, because there is no new revelation.
Right.
The Lord may, to one of us, reveal something that's already true in His Word, that's revealed to our minds, so we never have understanding, but there is no new revelation that comes. It's complete.
Right.
His word.
1980, nothing after that.
David Cloud had recorded a two DVD set where he talks about the Pentecostal church and the charismatic movement. And he transcribed words that were said in tongues, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And he made pronouncements of those words. And also, there were newspapers at the Azusa Street Revival back in, I think it was 1911. They printed what some people were saying in tongues at that time in that church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pure gibberish.
Pure gibberish.
It doesn't follow any form of language at all.
Mm-hmm. And another place I heard years ago, 10, 15, 20, 30, however many years, people were attending one of these Pentecostal groups or the charismatic group, and as they're taking their tongues, this particular person knew that particular language he was using. It was all smut and filth and dirty garbage.
I was going to mention that, and sometimes they've even done. They find out that it's actually a satanic chant that they're saying.
Is that right?
Yes.
So we don't know the details, but we want to stick with the word, and we don't have any new revelation. And that's what these things think they are, these nine special revelation questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or contact number. Just say hello. That's verse 23. 23, was it? Then we read 24. We have to start with 24, 25, and 26, please. But for all prophecy,
there is only one that believeth not, and one that learneth.
He is finished the law. He is just the law. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest,
and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report God as the kingdom of his truth.
How is it then, brethren,
when you come together, every one of you hath a song, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying.
All right, verse 24. What about this all prophesying? Should that ever be taking place according to our Bible? All prophesying all at once?
Everything must be done decently and in order as God's
word. And the verse 3, so, but it's all prophecy.
Well, this is a big contrast to all of the beginning times. So, the whole idea is that if it's prophecy, then the unlearned will understand and they can get saved.
Mm-hmm. Not all at once, that's the thing, right?
Right.
Yeah, question then?
Well, you need the person to be edified, he can be convicted of his need of salvation if everyone is prophesying versus if everyone is speaking in tongues or known four languages.
He's
comparing it as far as I have an old room of people speaking in tongues versus a whole room of people that are in the room that are prophesying. Mm-hmm. Prophesying is what's in it, so it's going to direct them in the right direction.
And that's good. And I'm just pointing about the all, because prophecy in a time when they didn't end the Bible, that was much higher than any type of tongues. No. Then verse 25, what is manifested by apparently prophesying?
Well, we have all at the beginning of the, well, near the beginning of the verse of verse 24, and also at the end of verse 24. So there's two alls.
Mm-hmm.
Of all prophesied, and he's judged by all.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And then in verse 25, what are the secrets of his heart made up? What do you think that refers to?
A secret. Dr. Wade.
Go ahead, Paul.
It says in 25 there, thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down from his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you. That God is in you.
The
Word of God is going to be a convicting force in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to convince him of his need of salvation, his need to go a different direction.
Mm-hmm. So when God gives a special sign gift before the Bible is completed, these New Testament days, that gift, that prophecy, that word of God from heaven will convict his people, and he believes that God is in you of the truth. That's right. Fall on his face, and he will be converted. That's what his purpose is.
Right.
That's a good purpose. Did we read 26 yet? Well, maybe not the secrets of his heart. Yeah, we talked a little bit about that. What about the secrets of heart? Does any person living know what the secrets of other people's hearts are?
No.
Does God know what the secrets of our hearts are?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. He says, really, before we speak, what we're going to say in our brain.
Well, so what we're talking about in there, where it says, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, the unlearned, or the one that doesn't believe, that it talks about in verse 24 there, here's the prophecy we know, no, it's the Word of God, the true Word of God, not some other thing. It'll be made clear to that person the sin that's in their life.
Yes.
You know, they'll then understand that these actions that I've had throughout my life are wrong and things I'm doing now wrong. They'll be convicted by the Holy Spirit.
Yes. That's good. By the Word of God. With the prophetic Word of God that's revealed to them, and they will report, what will the report be once this takes place in the first 25? Yeah?
They'll recognize that God is in you.
That's right.
They'll see the witness.
That's right. Now, the truth, they recognize the cousin. And we read Christians that we're in.
Yes,
we
read Christians.
We did tell, okay. Now, who is he addressing now? What question is he asking now in the home in verse 26? Who is he addressing in this verse?
The brethren.
The church there, according.
Okay. And the brethren. Yep. The believers.
Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ.
And when they all come together. What might each one have and contribute? What sort of things they might bring up in this church meeting? Question that?
Song.
All right. What else? What else might they bring up in this church meeting? What's that?
The doctrine.
Doctrine? What else might they bring up? What's the thought at that time?
At that time, there. They could bring up tongues.
Okay.
It could be a known language.
Next language could
be. For somebody.
A revelation.
Revelation. At that time, that's revelation. What else could they bring up?
An interpretation.
Interpretation. So all these things, yes, and so on. But what is the main thing that always must prevail at the end of this work?
Edification.
Edification. What does edification mean?
Building up.
Okay, that's a great big building. Building up in the things of the Lord. So that's 26. We didn't read 27?
No.
Okay, see, 27, 28, and 29.
If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by chorus, and let one interpret it. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge.
Okay. So in 27, what is true? How many should speak in an unknown tongue? At that time, God has revealed to how many?
Most three.
That's a very important thing. Okay, we'll take 3 out of 10.
And it's interesting, and that by course, so they still had to take turns.
Right.
I mean, it's like the courses of the Old Testament, mm-hmm. where the musicians or the priests, they had certain times when they went to serve. So they were only supposed to speak for a certain period of time that was assigned to them ahead of time.
And one at a time, by course, in other words,
right.
One, this is okay. And what's the most important thing at the end of this? That's speaking in unknown tongue. What's the most important thing in the last part of that first lesson?
There must be an interpreter.
Interpreter.
See, so many in these. We'll call modern churches today that believe in tongues mm-hmm. for today. They will maybe have 2, 3, 4, 5 people, and they're just talking over each other in tongues. And that's absolutely wrong.
Absolutely.
It must be done decently and in order.
Yes.
The intern, as this verse here tells us, that by course, in proper order, one at a time.
Orderly.
And then it must be an interpreter.
Decently in order. Yeah, that's the name. That's something.
And this is from Pollard Walls. She was wondering what the church in the first century looked like in the days of the Apostle Paul when there wasn't a completely canon of Scripture.
Mm-hmm. All right, anybody want to raise their hand and comment on that? What did the church use look like before the early century, before there was a pretty canon of the Bible? Not mine?
In the beginning, they met at homes.
That's right.
I was just doing the function of the church. Have the church function without the canon.
It had part
of the scripture, but not the completed scripture.
That's
probably why.
Correct. Hey, hi, brother Rob. What you got? Go ahead, Rob. Rob, go ahead. Go ahead.
Hey, man, you're still back on. Let me see what verse. I'm still stuck back on verse 20.
Okay, go right ahead.
This is just, and when he quotes verse 21 out of Deuteronomy, and then we read that one verse, but that's one of the strongest rebukes of Israel in the whole Bible.
Uh-huh.
If you read through verses 8 through 12, I mean, it's one of the strongest rebukes
in the
whole Bible. And it Paul's referring to that, and people
today,
they don't believe that this is a rebuke of tongues. It just amazes me.
Right.
Have you got more verses before
sure,
that?
Go right ahead.
He's speaking to the priests who have erred through wine and strong drink.
Isaiah 28:11-12.
28:8, and okay. In verse 8, 7, he tells who he's speaking to. I say air, through strong drink. Mm-hmm. And then he says that there's a, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, and there is no place clean. Mm-hmm. Who shall he teach knowledge, and who shall he make understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And then he goes, he gives prominence to the word of God here. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, and then verse 11, for all stammering lips and another tongue will we speak to this people, mm-hmm. to whom we said, this is a rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is a refreshing, yet they would not hear.
Mm-hmm. Good, well, thank you.
If they could not hear the word of God, right. that's exactly what these people are doing in the Corinthian church.
Yeah.
And he tells them from the end of verse 20, that word meant is kalios, which is his faith to be perfect at other times, is that right?
Kalios. Men would be. Complete, perfect, that's right. Tell us, that's right.
And they were just children, so I'm stopping to try to convince those two people that their different tongues are good. And I've given them these verses before, and they remain children.
Yes. Well, thank you, Rob. Well, let's wait for Rob in Illinois. Thank you very much. Well, that was a good job. We'll get back to Ron's question. What was the church like? What was the function of the church in those early days, the early days of the church? Yeah, Bill had a question. Yeah, Bill, go ahead, Bill.
I think we've been reading what the church was like in those days. Mm-hmm. And not only these verses, but the verses that Rob was referring to also in the Old Testament times. We're seeing what the church was like.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's... God isn't leaving anything for us to imagine. He's telling us straight out what it was like, and it continues today.
Right. The churches are small. The church in their homes, right. Mostly. Church in the house, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. They were church in the house, church in the house. And they didn't have a lot of money. They just met. They preached. When the Pharisees and others didn't want to preach, they had to do it quietly, they had to go somewhere where they wouldn't be persecuted. Many were put in prison because of that. And the early church also was, lots of closing out of the churches and battling those of genuine Christian believers. Yeah, John and then.
And then, in terms of, the question might be in there, but what did they use for scripture? Clearly, they used the Old Testament scriptures, but they also used the teachings that Jesus left them.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not have, the canon might not have been completed than what they did have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe at that point, all that was written down, that happened later. Mm-hmm. But they had the teachings of the apostles
mm-hmm.
Still to go on. And they were still learning.
Yes.
And they were still given that revelation.
Right.
So that was coming in conjunction with Old Testament scriptures, as Jesus expounded to them earlier,
mm-hmm.
where he was in every book in the Old Testament, all the Old Testament scriptures, where he is. They were carrying that forth and teaching others.
That's right. Bob Lynn, if there's anything else we left out and more on your question, please give us another call, 856-261-9018, for questions at vatbc.org.
Dan was telling us something when we got the phone call.
Okay, what were you telling us about
that? It's fine. We'll recover everything.
Okay. All right, so.
I had a question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
As far as when the churches, when the Apostle Paul was going on his 3 missionary journeys,
mm-hmm.
he started these churches,
mm-hmm.
and he was the person that started them, but he didn't stay.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how long it was before he appointed, Timothy was pastor, Titus was pastor,
right.
But how long before the churches actually had pastors? At what point? I mean, he spells out the gifts of pastor,
right.
Teacher. But when did they actually? Did he appoint them, or did? I mean, I don't know. These are just some interesting thoughts that kind of correlate with what she was asking.
And the other question is, how long before these churches went sour? I remember someone in the last meeting of the St. Bernard San Mee, they talked about it. It was Dr. Don Boyce. He quoted the early church fathers, 150 A.D., heretics.
Well,
people from, it didn't take long before they go south. The apostles, yes.
Well, we see just in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, these are books of admonishment to those local churches.
Yeah, exactly.
So they were already starting to go south. They were going off to, you know, the worldwide. And, you know, they had heretical doctrines that crept in already.
Yes.
Almost virtually from the very beginning.
Exactly. So it's just sad. And so we have all that today. The churches were started one way, just drift very quickly, very quickly. So that was 27, what verses then?
That was,
we
didn't get to 27. We must still live on 26.
26. So the brethren, Henry Evan. If God has given the gift of a sound, well, we have the sound built in, but a doctrine, see, you can't bring it to order. If God's given a doctrine, that's fine, before the Bible was completed. And a tongue or interpretation, revelation, see, that's all before the Bible was complete. This was part of God's plan to inform the Christians to get a revelation. That's good.
I'm sorry, we were on 27.
That's right. Yeah, Rob, go ahead, Rob.
Earlier.
Yes.
I'm sorry, did I speak over you?
Go ahead.
what they're all mentioning, the same thing I mentioned, maybe I didn't explain it enough. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, they, in conjunction with the Old Testament scriptures, with Jesus and Christ, they were showing everybody how Christ was a fulfillment of everything that was in those scriptures. Mm-hmm. How every feast, festival, right. every, all the law pointed to Christ and how he is the fulfillment of all the prophecies. Mm-hmm. And therefore, he is the Messiah. And expanding upon that so we can understand fully God's plan.
And that's what the Lord Jesus told the people in the River Emmaus. All the things concerning himself from the scriptures. Yes. Very important. He just taught them. Very good. So that's 28. Keep silence. Speak to himself and to God, if there's no interpreter. If we read the word 29. Now, what about the prophets? How would you define the prophets when the Bible was not that when it was a gift of prophecy in the New Testament until 980? What would a prophet be?
Yes,
right, Paul, Paul, go ahead, Mark.
It said in 29, so let the prophets speak two or three.
All right.
And let the others judge.
That's right. And what was the prophet defined in this time before the Bible was complete? How would you define a prophet?
He was proclaiming God's word.
Okay.
Wasn't necessarily, just like we think of today, future events. Mm-hmm. You know, it may have been in that, but he was proclaiming God's word. And they were to judge all the others, judge to make sure that what he was saying conformed with all the rest of Scripture that they already had.
That's
it. Prophecy of foretelling. And his job is describing prophecy of foretelling. Mm-hmm. Foretelling, I mean, you go on the foretelling thing as far as prophetic events, think of the minor prophets, the major prophets, into the thing of prophecy. And his job, as mentioned earlier, they have just the Old Testament primarily, how it proclaims who the Messiah actually is, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And all these things are written in the Old Testament. They may be somewhat conceal in the Old Testament, but yet the apostles and others could draw that out to them until this canon was completed, and they were relying on the Old Testament scriptures, which was completed at the time.
And who gave these prophets in the New Testament before the Bible was completed the words that they were speaking?
The Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit, who was from God, revelation, because it had not been revealed, special revelation at that time. So the prophets, and they should speak how often, how many at a time?
No more than two or three, just like with the tongues. It must be in order.
And that's it. Two or three, the other let them go. Well, I think we'll stop right here. But if you have any other comments or questions before we close tonight, any other thoughts on these verses? Right now, let's close the word prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Paul's writing to Corinthians. We know that people today should listen to these verses. The Pentecostal, the Charismatics, any of the others,
yes,
mislead their congregations and are misled themselves as far as when these scientists stop. 1 Corinthians 13 is so clear to us, Lord. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for telling us about these things and we can discuss them so people can have clarity and not adding to the words of God and us adding the plagues that is promised to those that have. Help keep us faithful to reveal to us, Lord, and help us to keep thy words and defend thy words in all these things. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray.
Amen.
Thank you.